What's up, everybody? My name's Dustin, and this is the Sweet Science Class Podcast. And today, we're just going to talk about Tank Davis's performance against Euriorcus Gamboa, his upcoming fight possibly being pay-per-view, Spence and Crawford going at it through the internet, and everything we can expect to see this weekend with Munguia, Sullivan, Travell Monzon, Clarissa Shields, and more. So stick around and get ready to chat boxing with us. Thank y'all for joining in to today's episode. I got Felix and Landon standing by. So what's up, Felix?
What's going on, Dustin? What's going on, Landon? What's up, Sweet Science Class? Ready to talk some boxing.
And what's going on, Landon?
What's up, fellas? Hope y'all doing well, Sweet Science Class. Let's get to it.
Okay, so as I said on the intro, we know what we're talking about. We're going to kick it off with Tank Davis's performance versus Euriorcus Gamboa, how he looked, where he can go from here, what we think about his opinion of saying he owns the 130 and 135 division and his next fight possibly being pay-per-view against Leo Santa Cruz. So I'll just kick it to y'all. What did y'all think about his performance against Gamboa? I was personally, I don't want to say unimpressed, but it was closer to unimpressed than being actually impressed.
Yeah, I feel that, man. I'm always going to be impressed with Tank's ability and his talent, but I was unimpressed because of the fact that he couldn't make weight first go around when he moved up in weight, and then he showed a little bit of fatigue, man. You could see at the post-fight interview he was gassed up. That's what doesn't impress me, man. It's just this, you don't want to question the fighter's work ethic, but it's hard, man, when you see him when he's not in camp and he gets a little pudgy. And you know, with a fighter, you want them spending that camp working on their craft and not working on trying to lose weight. So yeah, I wasn't impressed, but the thing is he's that good to where he can show up like that and still pull off a knockout.
Yeah, I'm with that, but you know, it took him 12 rounds to knock out an old vet fighting on one leg with a ruptured Achilles tendon. And I mean, I'm kind of like Dustin. I was closer to unimpressed than impressed. I see him doing well. That's no knock on Tank as a fighter, but I mean, how far does he go? I think he gets lost in the matrix eventually. But, yeah, I can't really put that as a top-notch performance, even though it ended with a nice KO. He knocked a man out on one leg.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to pardon you when you moved up 5 pounds in weight and then you come in almost 2 pounds overweight over that. Like, that's almost 7 additional pounds to the 130 division you were just fighting in. There's really no excuse for that. He had almost no muscle definition in the whole midsection area. You can tell he just, I don't want to say he didn't take training seriously, but, you know, it's not near to an extent of an Andy Ruiz situation, but he came in not looking chiseled like we've seen him. He missed weight. He was gassed by round 5 or 6. Yes, Gamboa was hobbling off 1 foot after like the 2nd or 3rd round. It was a good win. But makes the wheels turn in my head, because going into this fight, I like Tank, but I've been complaining that for the longest time, he fought at 130, bringing up 126 guy after 126 guy, where he was already in a class he looked a little too big in, and he would knock him the hell out real quick. So going up against Gamboa, you kind of expect to see that. And yeah, he got the 12th round knockout, but now it makes me wonder, is his power really all what we thought now that he's at 135? Gamboa's been known to be a little chinny. He's been down like 17 times in his career, and he was taking some big Tank shots and acting like they weren't a problem. So now I have to just reevaluate everything I think about Tank, because I don't know anymore. Was that just a bad performance due to a lackluster training? Is his power not what we thought it was once he gets in there with people his actual size? I don't know what to think, and I think the viewer numbers were like 650,000 on Showtime, so to talk about pay-per-view is just insane to me. I don't think him versus Cruz does well at all on pay-per-view, but that's just me.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't really want to see that fight, man. I don't. Maybe a year or two ago, but I don't know, man. Leo Santa Cruz, got a lot of respect for him, but I feel like he's kind of punched out. He's got a lot of wear and tear, man, and it's not because of he throws a lot of punches, man. I mean, that's what happens, and I just feel like he has a lot of wear and tear, and he's got a lot of mileage, and I don't want to see that. Maybe if it's not a pay-per-view, cool, but nah, pay-per-view, man, I don't think anybody in boxing right now is a pay-per-view star unless you're, you know, of course, you got the guys with the DAZN, but if you're not a heavyweight, like a Wilder Fury type guy, I just don't see a pay-per-view.
Could you even see a pay-per-view with him and say like a Regis or a Josh Taylor? I mean, both those guys are going to fight over on DAZN, but did you see the viewership going up anymore?
I don't think anybody knows who the casual fan doesn't really know who those guys are, you know? Pay-per-view to me is just, it's household names, and you could probably do it with a Spence, maybe, or of course Pacquiao, anybody Pacquiao fight, but it's not the way it used to be, man. I mean, we have these apps now. We have ESPN Plus, and we got the DAZN and all this, and if I can watch Canelo with the $20 a month subscription, then it's hard for me to pay, you know, $70 to $100 to watch Tank Davis. I mean, come on.
So even if they pack the card and he fought Pac-Man, or not Pac-Man, but they pack the card and he fights Loma, would you buy it?
If he fights Loma, yeah. If he fights Loma, but I don't even consider Loma a pay-per-view star, but if they come together, they can do a pay-per-view.
That's the only fight I would pay to see Tank do is Loma. The Cruz thing kind of goes back to what I just said. He just moved up to 130, and now Tank's going to move back down to fight a dude he's probably bigger than and strongest. It's rinse and repeat for me. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I don't want to see it either, man. And the thing is, it's an easy fight to make because of the whole management and everything. So we might see that. And they can try to do a pay-per-view, but we'll see, man. I mean, I've been surprised by other pay-per-views before, so you just never know, man. You know, Tank Davis, I'm starting to find out, he does have a pretty big fan base, man. A pretty big fan base, pretty popular, but I don't know. I don't see – the only potential pay-per-view stars I see right now is maybe like a Ryan Garcia or somebody like that, just based off the popularity and the whole – just the package, I guess you can say. But – other than that, man, I don't see no future pay-per-view guys. Not yet. I'm not saying they can't be, but I don't see it yet.
Aside from Pacquiao, ironically, the few people that could do pay-per-view are on DAZN, which takes away pay-per-view.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying, man. Why it's hard for me to pay, you know, $70-$80 for a fight, man, when I got Triple G, I got Anthony Joshua, I got Canelo, $20 a month, come on.
And those would be the only two I could think of, is Canelo and Joshua, both DAZN, maybe Triple G. Even him and Jacobs didn't do amazing. Tank versus Cruz doesn't even do 200K, I don't think. Maybe not even 150. Like, it's going to fail. But hey, if that's what they want to do, they want to find out the hard way.
I think it could do 150 just based. Because, I mean, Santa Cruz does have the Mexican fan base. And I think if you combine that with Tank, they can probably do 150. Maybe.
Yeah, I'd land somewhere from 150 to 200. But any more than that, no, that's wishful thinking. But Ellerby and Heyman and the whole bunch, they're high on their own supply.
And keeping it with the pay-per-view star talk, you mentioned Spence. I don't know if, I mean, the fans want to see Spence versus Crawford. That could possibly be a future pay-per-view. And anyone that didn't see it, if you don't have Twitter, social media, whatever, that's been the news the last few days. Crawford and Spence totally firing shots at each other. I mean, it almost seemed like more so Crawford, which is odd because he's usually a little bit more soft-spoken, a little bit more mild-mannered, and I've even seen Andre Ward and others critique him and ask him, why aren't you more vocal? Why don't you kind of push and bully and try to get these fights? And he never really does it, but he's been going all in on Spence, so I still am not hopeful that fight happens, but I think this might be a good, I don't know if I want to say that. They've already been in each other's face, and that went viral. Nothing happened from it.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of online pitter-patter. I mean, they're going back and forth. I mean, I followed the whole tweet war yesterday, and it all ended up with Errol Spence is actually a really nice guy. We just had a talk or something of that nature. And it's like, okay, you went from calling him a pussy pretty much and saying that he won't fight you to he's a nice guy and the fight will happen. But no indication on when, no indication on where, just it will. Is it going to be in 2020 or 2023? No one knows.
Yeah, you know what? And I don't even want to see the fight yet. I want Errol to have a fight. Let's see what he looks like, because I don't want any excuses if Errol Spence loses to Bud Crawford, because that's what's going to happen. You see all this stuff, you know, oh, man, he's talking all this noise after he got into an accident. Nah, man, Bud pulled up on an event, and they went face-to-face because Bud showed up. So Bud wants all the smoke, man, and I don't know where Errol's at right now. Nobody knows. So let's get Errol back. Let's see if he's 100% close to it. Then if he looks good against a formidable opponent, then make the fight happen. But if he comes back and he fights Bud and Bud beats him, that's when the excuses are going to come, you know, about, oh, well, he only beat him because he got into an accident and things like that, which could be true, could not be true. But that's why I want Errol to be at his best, man. And once he's at his best, then make the fight happen. Let's get another PBC guy to fight Bud right now.
I'm with that. I mean, you know, like he said, though, no tune-up fights. He doesn't want any tune-up. So he might get what he's asking for. And if Terrence goes in there and fucks him up, then guess what? We're at least lined up for an immediate rematch. And that's boxing gold for us.
Yeah, it's not boxing gold if Errol don't look good, though.
He'll get the rematch anyway.
Yeah, I just think 2020, man, if I'm him, I wouldn't even fight. I'd take a whole year off.
And ironically, he wants to fight this summer.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I feel like I heard sooner than that. I feel like I heard he's trying to be in there, like, by March. I'm like, man, like, you got a lot to do. Like, you just got flung from a Ferrari, man. Like, got to make sure you're all the way back and right before you can get in there and rumble. But a young man's going to do whatever the hell he wants, and he's going to fight whoever the hell Heyman wants him to fight at the end of the day. And Heyman's going to be the one that pulls the trigger on that. It's not going to be him. That's his handler.
I don't agree with him not wanting a tune-up. I think that's crazy. I think he absolutely should. I think that's ego getting in the way of common sense.
Yeah, you gotta see what you got in the tank, man. You can't. I'm not saying he doesn't have it, but it's just you got to test your body.
Yeah, even fight Aegis. Fight the meme machine. That might be a good test for him.
And coming up this weekend, Friday night, Clarissa Shields will be back in action. She's taking on, I hope I'm saying her name right, Habazin, something like that. This is the fight that was canceled several months back. Trainers got into a fight, and someone got sucker punched, and it went crazy, and the fight was canceled. This is that fight. It's finally happening again, so there's definitely some bad blood there. We're excited for that. Clarissa Shields has vowed to break Lomachenko's 3-division record, so, you know, she's trying to do her thing. She's talking to Amanda Nunes, or I don't watch UFC, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know her name for sure. I think that's her name. There might be a thing there going on. Dana White's getting involved. Lots of stuff with Clarissa Shields, so, you know, be on the lookout for her if you're not familiar with female boxing. It is actually a lot of fun, and Clarissa Shields is arguably the best female out there, top three for sure. And then Saturday we got a good Golden Boy DAZN card. The main event will be Jaime Munguia taking on Gary O'Sullivan. This is Munguia's first time at 160. He's been at 154 for a while, and everyone's been wondering when he was going to move to 160. He finally decided to drop his belt and move up and do it. So he's taking on Gary O'Sullivan, who's a good tough. He's a veteran guy, you know. He was in there with Lemieux. That didn't last long, but Lemieux's a big puncher. So we'll get to see where Munguia's power stands at 160. And on the undercard, we got Travell Maison, who's a up-and-coming prospect. Felix and Landon have actually been, you know, working with him a little bit. We got some kind of... I'll let Felix discuss all that.
Yeah, man, you know, Alamo Dome, San Antonio, got an event going. We've been following Travell. He's from my hometown, man, so I kind of linked up with him through social media and stuff like that, and hopefully, you know, we got some work coming up. Hopefully, maybe like some photo shoots and things of that nature. We'll actually have a photographer in the building taking some good pictures for y'all for the gram and for the Facebook. Shout out to Javi, who's going to be holding it down for us, representing. And pretty excited, man, just to see Munguia finally at a weight that, I don't know, man, he seemed too big for 154. Let's see if his power carries up, but he just seemed like he had a hard time making that weight. Maybe 160, he'll feel really comfortable and, you know, very raw, but, you know, he's working with Eric Morales. Let's see what Eric Morales can get out of him, man, because the guy's a puncher. He's tough as nails. You know, sometimes that combination can take you a long way at that 160 division. It's a deep division already, you know, so pretty interested to see what he can do in that mix, man. As far as Travell, he's competing at 154, and he's an up-and-coming Golden Boy fighter. Be on the lookout for him, man, and support, do all that. And I think he fought, last fight was at here in L.A., was a couple months ago, like 3 months ago. He had a fight that the guys actually attended about 2 months before that, so he's been pretty active. So with that activity, man, you might be hearing his name on the contenders list pretty soon, man. Be on the lookout.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Spike O'Sullivan, like, he's not a bitch. He's not going to go in there to lay down. And, I mean, he came to San Antonio, Texas. He's going to be fighting in front of a huge Mexican fan base. It's going to be back in Munguia heavy. And I think he's going to disappoint the shit out of everybody. I've been watching Spike for probably 5 or 6 years, and that guy is as tough as nails. And well, granted, it didn't happen, you know, when he fought Lemieux, but, I mean,
he has to stop him, because we know how them scorecards in good old San Antonio, Texas are.
I think he will. I think he's going to give him more than he can handle. Young man wants to move up, let a buck. Get on it, cowboy.
I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, at all. He is a very tough dude. You know, like we said, Lemieux got him out in one round. But in my opinion, Lemieux is one of the pound-for-pound hardest punchers in boxing. I think Lemieux punches harder than Triple G. It's just Triple G is a better boxer and knows how to get that power to land. But as far as just one-punch explosiveness, Lemieux's insane. So, you know, I can look past him getting him out in one. I can't remember the dude's name. It was about 2 years ago. I saw Sullivan go in there as the underdog against, like, a guy who was undefeated or maybe one loss or so. And the other guy was supposed to win. And you could just see O'Sullivan breaking his will down through the fight. And he ended up... can't remember if he stopped him late or got a decision. But it wouldn't be the first time O'Sullivan's pulled a giant upset and beat the person he wasn't supposed to beat. I think Jaime Munguia is good, but I haven't been, like, beyond impressed yet. I thought Dennis Hogan arguably beat him. Now he's going up to a weight class he's never been in. Yeah, I think if you think this is a gimme fight for Munguia, you might be mistaken. I think it's going to be a tough fight for him. I'm not saying he won't win it. I think it's more along the lines of 60-40 Munguia. It's close to 50-50. I'm definitely, you know, Munguia may have his plan spoiled.
I always feel like all of Munguia's fights are going to be like that, huh? Pretty like 60-40, even if he's favored. Just the fact that he's very hittable.
Yeah, and anytime he's been in there with someone who wasn't brought up in weight, kind of like Tank Davis, he didn't get him out. He went the distance with Hogan. He went the distance with that Japanese dude. And then they throw him in there, you know, in between with that Nigerian guy or whoever who would come up in weight. He looked massive compared to him. You go back to Saddam Ali. It seems like when they bring in a guy and kind of bring him up in weight, Munguia gets in there and looks like Triple G power. And I'm like, oh, man, this guy's the real deal. Then when he fights someone kind of along his size, it goes the distance. So kind of just like Tank Davis, I don't know what to think about Munguia's power. I really don't know what to think yet, and this fight will be a amazing way to gauge it.
I'm gonna say, I can't wait. You know, this is the redemption shot for Irishman. So, I mean, it's coming up, and I can't wait to see what he looks like against a guy his own size.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool to see him face Spike O'Sullivan on his first fight at this division. Big props to Golden Boy, man, and, you know, their whole team.
It's not a weak step-in fight. And they may think it is, but it's not. You know, this is going to be a good fight. It's a very good test to move into 160. He could have taken an easier guy. So, yeah, props to the young Munguia for taking on someone like this in his first fight at 160. And, hey, if he comes out there, he thinks he's going to stop O'Sullivan in 4 rounds or less. So, if that happens, then we've got a new middleweight in town.
Yeah, and he's on the zone. There's a lot of guys on the zone at 160. It's gonna be pretty exciting to see what's next after this fight, if he wins.
Especially if he wins impressively. If he does go out there and get it done in four or less like he thinks, then wow. Like, I'm then really
Eric
excited.
Morales is the real deal. Yeah. Eric Morales, you know.
And then I want to see Munguia against Charlo, Andrade, Derevyanchenko, people like that. Like, there could be some excellent fights if he's the real deal at 160.
And even if he's just that guy that gives us those exciting fights where, let's say he doesn't dominate this fight, but he just does enough to win, and it's a slugfest or whatever. Like, all his fights are going to be like that. So just the fact that he's in the division, he has the style that he has, we're going to see exciting fights.
I think so. I mean, that's one thing you can't take away from him. All his fights have been exciting, no matter how we thought he looked specifically that night. Yeah. They're always pretty entertaining.
Exactly. He's an entertaining. Like I said, man, he can take a punch and he can punch. So we have that combination that usually, you know, that Mexican style. that's entertaining, man.
The Mexican style is about to meet the Irish style. So I can't wait for this weekend.
Okay, well, I guess that about wraps everything up. So everyone, do not forget, Friday, Showtime, Caressa Shields taking on Habazin, there's bad blood, history. It's going to be exciting. If you don't watch female boxing, make this your first fight. It's going to be exciting. Saturday, DAZN, Golden Boy. The only thing I don't love is that card's going to be going on during one of the Saturday night NFL playoff games. That's going to make things a little interesting. So, yeah, guys, any shout-outs, goodbyes, anything like that before we get out of here?
Yeah, it looks like, you know, a lot of sports going on, man. Got the NFL playoffs. I don't have a team in it, so, you know, I'm just watching it for pure entertainment. But seems like for the next about 2 months, we got a fight, a really good fight every weekend. A couple good fights here and there. I think they said for the next 9 weeks. So be on the lookout. You know, when there's fights, that's when we're dropping them, that content. So just be on the lookout.
Yeah, and we're blowing up on IG right now. We're gaining followers by the day. We're almost at 2,000. And be sure to tune in this weekend. Huge fight for the Texas boys. We got Tristan Calcruz, George Rincon, Hector Tanahara. It's going to be a great day for boxing, for Texas, for the world, for Ireland, everything. So everybody have a safe weekend, and we'll be talking to you soon.
So like the Facebook page, follow the Instagram, subscribe to the YouTube channel, check out the podcast, and share us to all your friends and family all over the world that enjoy boxing. Let them know the Sweet Science Class brings the top stuff as quick as we possibly can. We'll see you next week. The Sweet Science Class is out.